Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to those forking fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha, but I'm actually Christine.
Just go with the bit.
I'm always afraid, because they always do this on Armchair Expert, that people are going to get confused, because I get confused sometimes and I've been listening to it this entire time.
Okay, well, I'm actually Natasha, and today we're going to dig into where our lore started. This trend was big on the internet.
A couple months ago.
Yep. And we think it would make a fun discussion. Actually, did you see the little prompts I put down below?
No, but I will go look at them in a second. Yeah, if you're not familiar with the trend, it's basically like the references that are in your DNA, like what built you into you, where your lore started, and the references that like are now your personality and like parts of you that your friends know as you, but you know that that came from something in your past. Yeah. It came from something. And we're going to go through those, and it's going to be a fun time. But first, we have a shit ton of Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news, because we were off last week. We had a crazy weekend followed by my copy edits being due. So last week I spent the entire week writing. I did not touch any television for an entire week from Monday to Monday. I did not watch anything. It was crazy.
Not even on your lunch breaks?
Nope. I listened to my audiobook.
Wow.
I know. Nothing. I started yesterday. I watched an episode of You, and that was my first breaking the seal. But yeah, Natasha, you want to give us something in the news today?
Yeah. Okay. So Heartstopper got renewed, but it's going to be a movie.
Wild. I didn't realize that it wasn't coming back as a series.
Yeah. So there are four seasons being turned into a movie, and it's going to have a proper send off. So like after the third season aired, we didn't have any news on if it was renewed at all. So this was the big announcement, I guess. The writer and the showrunner, last name is Osman, said on a basic level,
Alice
of course. Yeah. On a basic level, of course, I want the movie to be beautiful and emotional, a send off for the Heartstopper story, celebrating what Heartstopper means to people, a chance to say goodbye to our beloved characters, and many hints of what's to come to the characters' future lives. I'm wondering, like, is this like Netflix, and they want to like send it off, but they didn't want to give it like a full season run?
I feel like they didn't want to give it like a season for every book, because there's a lot of books, I think. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just like, Netflix usually does three seasons of stuff. Maybe they're like, it got three seasons. What can we do to send it off and not be doing this for a long time? And that's the movie is what they agreed on.
What else do you have on the news?
Okay, well, I've got something big today. All right. I
dropped the cover. I did the cover reveal for my fourth book, the title reveal, because the title still hadn't been revealed yet. My fourth novel is called 30, Flirty, and Forever Alone.
Oh, my
Oh my God. Yeah. So it's very exciting because I've been waiting to announce it forever. That's what Tafafa has been all this time. And I'm going to read the synopsis. So, well, let me describe the cover just in case you didn't see it. You can always just go look on my Instagram. For the cover reveal. It's a rom-com. It's an adult rom-com. And it's my first adult rom-com, which means that it's in paperback. I had a lot of questions today being like, where can I order in hard copy? And I'm like, because of the genre, like most of the publishers only want to do soft cover because that's what romance readers want to read. So it isn't soft cover. It's in, you can get it on Kindle, ebook, and there's going to be an audiobook, but I have not heard anything about narrators yet. This has all happened very quickly. Like I did not know that they were putting up the cover. Nobody told me. And then I looked on Amazon and there it was. And I was like, ah!
It's just naked out there.
It was just there. So I was like, I need to get the cover reveal up stat. But all right, here comes the synopsis. 27 Dresses meets Crazy Ex-Girlfriend in this witty, serendipitous rom-com with a magical twist from New York Times bestselling author Christine Riccio. When your name literally means forever alone, it takes a lot of positive self-talk to stay optimistic in the hellscape that is dating. But on the cusp of 30, Ricky Ramona is determined to find her person. Now, if you don't want to hear the synopsis, I did not preamble this. But it is pretty spoiler-free, actually, because I rewrote the whole thing that they sent me. They didn't really have spoilers, but it just wasn't, like, popping as much. There's some of it that I kept in there from them. But anyway, if you don't want to know the love interest name, like, if you want to be surprised when he pops on screen, like, you know there's a love interest coming. That's all that's really spoiled in this.
Well, yeah, it's a romance.
It's a romance. Okay, so... anyway, columnist, therapist, podcaster, entrepreneur, Ricky is an overachiever who thrives on schedules. She can absolutely handle two weddings in 2 days and lock down someone to drag along as a plus one. Lol, spoiler, she doesn't. Ricky finds herself flying hopelessly solo at a themed wedding in New Jersey. Enter Reed Tyler, writer, podcast producer, wannabe actor, surprisingly single with startling blue eyes. He seems perfect. The catch, he lives kind of far away, so dating him would be a bit of a hike, like an intense all the way across the country hike. After one unforgettable night together, Ricky's sure this is the end, but as she braces herself for heartache, the universe, it seems, has other plans. Yeah, so it's rom-com with splash of magic, and it's available for pre-order now. And we all know from me talking about this a million times how important pre-orders are, but I feel like this is a whole new publisher. I feel like it's even more important. I mean, it's always super important. So if you're interested in reading it or supporting my author career, I would so appreciate you taking a second to pre-order it. The link will be in the show notes. You can pre-order the ebook for only like $3.99 on Kindle because... it's the publisher is a romance imprint that Amazon owns. So the Kindle has like a nice discount and it will be on like Kindle Unlimited.
I need to go pre-order.
And the soft.
I'm going to do it right now.
Thank you. And the paperback is $16.99. And I'm so excited to hold it because I haven't held this. I don't know what it'll look like in my hands.
I wonder how big it's gonna be.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, what will it feel like? How will it sit next to my other books? On the cover, there's a woman looking up at the sky, and there's like a constellation of a dude, and
and it's like midnight blue,
yeah,
gradient with stars.
Yeah, and she's wearing this low ass cut gold sequin dress. It's giving How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but like with sparkles. And to do the cover reveal, the second I saw the cover, I was like, I gotta get that dress. I gotta find that dress online.
and I found it for sale on ASOS, so I was able to make that happen.
Metal says if Chifafa were a Taylor Swift album, which album would it be? And I was thinking about this other day, and it would be Midnights. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Midnights.
For sure. Okay. I just pre-ordered the paperback.
Now thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's included in your membership with Kindle Unlimited.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it's included, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And I think you could just like pre-save so it like auto-downloads to
your
Kindle.
I'm going to do that right now. Thank you. Everyone listening, and if you're not driving or anything, go do it.
Yeah. Please feel free to pause the podcast. And oh, you don't even have to pause. You just open the show notes and click and open it. Thank you all so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's called 30 Floor to Be Forever Alone. And when I thought of this title, I was just like the most excited ever about it. Back in 2023, been excited to tell you forever. But because this all happened so fast, I didn't get to do a title reveal before the cover reveal, which is kind of a bummer, but whatever.
The lead up to it.
I got some messages being like, this is so abrupt. And I was like, I know. Anyway, that is my book. If anyone in the chat has any other questions that I could answer, I would love to do that really quickly in the podcast for anyone who listens to the pod. So I could be like, go to this episode if you want to hear a little bit more about it. But while that, what else do we have, Natasha?
I guess I also, Chrissy and I have an announcement on the same day.
Yes, announce your announcement.
Well, I kind of announced it last week or 2 weeks ago when the last episode dropped. But I had been working on my website, technically like since before Christmas. And my website is live, natashapoles.com. And I've made so many websites before. I made Christine's website, I made her podcast website. I never had my own.
So that's wild.
I know. It's nice to finally have my own. But the big thing is the workshops and the webinars I only have two guys that are live. So if you ever wanted to learn how to sew from me, this is my take on how I sewed and how I make things. There's a basic sewing class, and if you are and it's going to be live on Zoom, so you can, wherever you are, you can tune in. If you are a Patreon member, you get a $10 off. I sent it all to your emails. So if you have been a Patreon member from the past or now, you have that code in your emails. And then I'll send out another email like next week. If there are any new Patreon members. But yes. So check your emails for Natasha Polis, and there are codes. You can stack them too. So you can get $20 off if you're a Patreon member if you want to do both classes.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. So those classes are going to be live. The basic sewing class is starting June. It's in June 22nd. I don't remember the date. And then there's a corsetry class in August. So you can take the basic one, and if you feel like you're ready, you can take the corsetry. It's an intro into corsetry. Like, don't be scared, because I started off making corsets. Of course, I know everyone's not me, but I'm going to do my best to make you guys feel prepared. And then if you ever have been interested in a commission, there's information about that, or there's one-on-one coaching.
Natasha, for people who don't know what you mean by commission, what is it?
If you want a wedding gown and you want me to make it, there's information on how that can happen.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice. On the website.
On the website.
NatashaPolis.com.
Yeah. Pricing and shipping and all that is laid out.
Link is in the show notes. All right. We've got some Hunger Games news, because we've been reporting on the people who are like in talks to play the leads for Sunset on the Reaping. They have now casted two people that we didn't have any information about. Joseph Zeta as Haymitch And I was looking up this guy on Instagram. He only has 9 posts currently. I think he's... And he's going to be in the We Were Liars movie, which is coming out June 18th.
Yeah, on Amazon Prime. They just released photos.
Yeah, which is very soon. So that's exciting if you're a We Were Liars fan, and he will be in that. But I don't think he's been in much before that because there was nothing else on his Instagram. And I feel like he deleted everything.
He's a newbie.
When he became famous.
Probably.
And then... Whitney Peak was cast as Lenore Dove, and I think she might be kind of new too because I couldn't find anything on her Instagram, but I also didn't go to her IMDb, so maybe I just haven't seen her in things.
Oh, okay.
And okay, this was crazy. I just saw this like half an hour ago. Wisteria Lane, a reimagining of the hit ABC mystery drama Desperate Housewives, is in the works.
What?
Okay. Yeah, described as fun, sexy, darkly comedic soap mystery set among a group of 5 very different friends and sometimes frenemies who all live on Wisteria Lane. So it's basically a reboot of Desperate Housewives called Wisteria Lane.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Can we talk about where my lore started?
Desperate Housewives.
I glanced at this and I was like, oh, Wisteria Lane. What a mystery dramedy series. I guess
that's what Desperate Housewives was. Every season had a murder that we saw happen in the beginning, but when we're like, who did it? Was it Orson? I loved Desperate Housewives as well. Just didn't watch the last couple seasons because they got kind of bad.
Christine, we kind of glanced over a couple of the other casting for Hunger Games, but McKenna Grace was also cast as Maisley. Yes.
I missed this during my writing haze.
And then also, let me pull
up. Oh my God, what a perfect Maisley.
Jesse Plemons was cast as Plutarch.
Mm-hmm.
The guy looks.
Yeah, they do look very similar.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Do you know he's married to Kristen Dunst?
Yeah, I know. The first time I saw him, called him ugly Matt Damon. Was mean.
Oh my God. There's another cast that was just announced.
Yeah, the full cast of Reminders of Him by Colleen Hoover has dropped. And I screamed. I opened my Instagram right when this was posted. Yeah. Lauren Graham is cast as Grace. Lauren Graham is Lorelai Gilmore from the Gilmore Girls, if anyone doesn't know. And she's in Colleen Hoover's new movie. Colleen just casually posted a picture with her on Facebook today. And I was just like...
She posted a picture with her?
Yeah, with her and the other guy who's in the cast, Bradley Whitford. Who's Patrick. And he's most recently, you might have seen him in The Handmaid's Tale as Commander Lawrence. And he's also on The West Wing. He's got like white hair, white beard. Yeah. They're, I think, the couple that is the guy's parents that are taking care of the kid. And
I realize I haven't read this book yet.
I know. I was like, I don't think you've read this one. This was her latest one. Yeah, the last thing she wrote before, I think, the world got really excited and she got really, like, pressure scared to.
She got deep down in the pressure and the movie biz.
Indeed, she got deep down in the oh my God. Word block. What is writer's block from pressure? The same thing happened to John Green after The Fault in Our Stars. He couldn't write a book for a while because the pressure was crippling. And yeah, so she's been working on movie stuff instead since this book. But this book was really moving and I really wanted a part 2. I remember getting to the end and was like, I love these characters. We need more. Excuse me. It was one of those things where like happily ever after just starts and you really want to see more. So if you didn't hear the rest of the cast yet, Micah Monroe is playing Kenna and Tyrig Withers is playing Ledger. I don't know him yet, but he's the lead guy from that new football horror film, Him. And he was also in I Know What You Did Last Summer. Rudy Panko is playing Scotty. He's a guy from Outer Banks. And Nicholas Duvmay is playing Roman, who was just
White Lotus.
In The White Lotus, playing the lady who works at the hotel's son.
Her son. He was really cute. I like him.
He was really cute. So I can't remember his role. I don't know if that's the guy who's dead.
What?
Who, Well, it starts. So the premise of Reminders of Him, if you haven't read it yet, is that the guy that she was with died.
Okay.
And they had a kid together.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was in jail for because of what happened. And we don't know what happened in the mm-hmm. beginning, but she just got out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
I love to see this. Thunderbolts is currently the second highest rated MCU movie on Rotten Tomatoes, right behind Black Panther. It is so at 95%.
Which is supposed to see it tonight, but we have to do the podcast.
I want to see it so bad. Oh my God.
Can you come down this weekend and watch it?
Maybe you gotta check my calendar, but like, I feel like it's worth it. so pumped. And everyone just went to the premiere yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it, it sounds like. So yeah. That's very exciting.
I'm really excited. I can't wait to watch it.
Yes. And The Summer I Turned Pretty has a release date for the final season. Did you see?
I did. Did you see that? Okay, I know you haven't ever watched Sabrina, but I love with Audrey Hepburn. And then they did the remake with Harrison Ford. I think I've talked about it before. But the picture of like of him like kissing the cheek is a total reenactment of Sabrina. So you need to watch Sabrina now.
Well, I didn't even see the picture.
Oh, it's what they announced it with, I thought.
I didn't see an announcement. I just saw today there's like a moving promo she's looking at them.
All right, I'll send it to you.
But yeah, July 16th.
Yay!
July when I'll be back on the dating game.
July when I'll be out of school.
Crazy times, folks. And we'll be able to watch The Summer I Turned Pretty Season 3. Is there anything else we need to talk about? Oh, there's one thing else that I had. Did you have anything else?
I had one more thing.
Okay, what is it?
This is so dumb, but the Oscars will now require all voters to see all movies in the category. And why wasn't
that before?
But also, they didn't dictate how they were going to enforce this rule.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how will they know? Do they have to come to like specific screenings?
This is stupid though, because like, what if it's just like a yes, I've seen all movies, like a disclaimer that they have to like, you know, like how is that going to be enforced?
I don't think it can be unless they make them come to mandatory things, and then like they can only vote if they were at all these different things, which they can't do.
No,
everyone's too famous. Oh, there's a new Lorde song. I was just talking about how I missed Lorde, and then Spotify's like, hey Christine, did you know that there was a new Lorde song? And I know when Spotify tells me these things, usually it's like weeks later, because with artists I really am on top of, I see it like weeks later. So I don't know how long ago this came out, but it's called What Was That. And I've been really enjoying it.
It's a beautiful reenactment of the song.
Thanks. There's this line where she's like, I wear smoke like a veil, like a wedding. I wear smoke like a wedding veil and make a meal I won't eat. And I just love it so much.
Should I listen to it?
Yeah, listen to it. It's not like, I wouldn't think that this is the headliner song, you know, if I saw it, but I feel like it would be a song on the album that I really liked, but it appears that maybe it's just a random that she's dropping, but the fact that she was at Coachella and performed with Charlie XCX makes me think that she's coming back out with a new album. I think she recently went through a breakup, and she's so good at breakup albums, so I'm excited. All right, should we move into what right now?
Yeah,
what did you read this week?
I've been slowly reading Sunrise on the Reaping. Is it in the Reaping? On the Reaping.
On the Reaping.
I just, I really just really want to rewatch Hunger Games. That's what mm-hmm. it's making me want to do. But
that
I
is
need
what
to,
we all did when we finished.
I want to finish it so that that's my reward.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little, I'm like not in like the reading groove right now. I've just mm-hmm. been in like, my time has been either watching something or putting my free time into like the website or.
We're in our burnt out era.
Yep. What have you been reading?
I've read a lot.
I'm really proud that I have used reading as a procrastination method instead of watching things, because it makes me feel like much more productive. And I do think reading helps you write. So highly recommend using books as your procrastination method as well if you're trying to write. But I finished Gifted and Talented by Livy Blake. It got really good towards the end. It's definitely like a very cerebral read, so you need to kind of be in the mood for like paying attention as you read if you don't want to miss any of like the really interesting swirly details of the story that she weaves together so beautifully. But it's definitely like a succession-y story. It definitely has a lot of unlikable characters that like eventually arc, and they do have a nice end together, these siblings, but you go through a lot of like shit in their heads for a while, but they're all dealing with like a little magic that that they don't know how to control, which is interesting. And their father
is kind of giving
died.
Like Umbrella Academy.
It's not really. It's definitely, I would compare it to, what was the thing that I was
Knives
comparing
out.
It to? What?
Knives Out.
Knives Out. Knives Out meets meets Succession, maybe with like a dash of Umbrella Academy. But like Umbrella Academy, I feel like they were more likable to me in the beginning, you know? And these characters, you really have to like, by the end, I was rooting for Meredith. And she was, the opening line is like, Meredith Wren, who was a fucking asshole. So like it opens up talking about how like all three of them are assholes, and it's really interesting the way it's told, because the narrative voice is like almost like the voice of God, but God is like super snarky, so you're like, who is this? And then eventually you find out who's telling the story. Oh. And we know who it is, like we've seen them in the story.
It's like a very like smarty pants read.
It is a smarty pants read. I feel like Olivia Blake is very, very smart. I don't feel like she is. I've read her books. They're very like cerebral and fascinating, and that's why I liked the Atlas Six so much. But you can't. The problem is that like you have to be in the mood for that type of read, so your brain's on. And if your brain's not like in the mood to be on, then like you pick her up when you're ready to be on. But I think her YA novels are less like cerebrally. I started reading My Mechanical Romance and it was really fun and cute.
What was the one that was a Germaine fic that was?
I think that you knew of that because we went through the fan fictions that she had written. And yeah. I can't remember because I didn't read those. I also finished Voice of the Ocean by Kelsey and Pichike, and I fucking loved it. It was so good. It wasn't sold to me as Pirates of the Caribbean, which
As Little Mermaid.
It was sold as Little Mermaid, and we know how I feel about the Little Mermaid is that I hate that she doesn't talk. It's literally the first 100 pages is so interesting because it's not like the Little Mermaid like we see. It's dark. Like they're not mermaids. They're sirens. And to protect themselves, like she's in the army, which is like called the chorus. And what the chorus does is when like ships go by, they go up and sing the men to their deaths so that they don't invade and kill any of the people in their kingdom. So like literally they're murdering So like we open and the equivalent of Prince Eric is on this ship, this prince that they've been told their father like has murdered a whole slew of sirens, including her grandmother. And so they're supposed to go kill him, and the ship starts to go down, and everyone's like, all the guys are in a trance and throwing themselves into the water and dying and drowning. And she saves Prince Raiden. His name, okay, at the event, because I moderated the event, we did a little pronunciation guide, and I read the first 100 pages before the event, but no more, because then I will accidentally spoil things. I just do when I'm moderating things, because I go to make jokes and they spoil things. So I only read like the first 50 to 100 pages. So I was on page 100, because once I got into it, I was like, oh, I'm going, but I'm so glad I didn't finish. Anyway, I did a pronunciation guide, and I thought that the love interest name was Raider. So I was calling him Raider. I was making jokes about this should be called Raider of the Last Ocean. Raider. And his name is literally Raiden. There is no R in it. And it looks like Raiden. So I was like, oh, it's Raiden? And she's like, it's Raiden, like rice sand.
Oh my God, Christine.
And that one, she told.
Wait, you thought it was Raider?
Raider. Yeah, like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Is there an R in the name? I can't even remember.
It starts with an R, but it ends with an N.
Oh my God.
I don't fucking know. It's just like Carsley. Like, it was ridiculous. And I thought that for sure I had that one right. Like, I thought that I was making jokes that were like punny as fuck.
Okay, oh no.
Let me just tell you, there's also her sister's names are Shy, and then the other sister is Seaphone, and I was like, Seafoam. And she was like, what? Who are you talking about? I was like, her sister Seafoam. And she was like, Stephanie?
Oh my God.
Did you say this on stage?
I said this on stage. Everybody got a big kick of it, and then it was the joke for the rest of the night. But
never change drinks.
But like toward the end, there's a lot of mention of actual Seafoam. But she's like, why would I name her Seafoam? I was like, they're mermaids in the ocean with Seafoam.
Well, like, Little Mermaid turns into Seafoam.
Yeah, at the end there's Seafoam. So anyway, so the first 100 pages, siren-y, dark Little Mermaid. The rest of it, Pirates of the Caribbean, whatever you want to call it. So much fun, so good. I'm so excited for the second one. And the audiobook was so good. That's what I, so after I did the first 100 pages, I picked up with the audiobook and I was listening to it on all my writing breaks while I was doing my copy edits. And I was like, Raiden has like an English accent, like Jack Sparrow. He's like Jack Sparrow and Will Turner had a child.
I'm so glad you like it. That makes me so, so, so happy.
Yeah, no, it was so exciting. And, highly recommend. And I started Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. This is kind of my reward for finishing copy edits. I started listening to Great Big Beautiful Life because I, as I've talked about a lot, love Emily Henry. Mm-hmm. And I think I am like 35% in. I'm on like chapter 12 or something. And I'm enjoying it. It's different. I kind of, it's got a little bit of a mystery happening in it. I do want more of the romance every time we start doing the other story, but I feel like the other story is going to turn into a romance.
What's the other story? What are you talking
about? Okay, this is the premise. Sorry, I should have started off with the premise. So the premise is there's like, it's giving like Evelyn Hugo, you know, like she's the biographer, mm-hmm, that's going to write the story of this older woman who's had this like great, big, beautiful life. And it's been, mm-hmm, full of like all different scandals. And like, she comes from this media mogul family that was really, really wealthy. She married this rock star. Like, it's giving Evelyn Hugo, oh, meets Daisy Jones, like the vibe, yeah, of the lady. But we don't really know exactly what happened yet. We know like her grandfather owned like all the newspapers, and her great grandfather like struck silver during the gold rush, like tons of silver. So like that's how their family originally got wealthy. And then, mm-hmm, you know, she's like three generations into that, and now she's 87, and she disappeared 30 years ago, just like off the face of the earth. So she tracked her down, and because she's really wants to do her biography, and she convinced her to let her do it. She's down in Georgia staying in a hotel to like interview with her in person because she needs to meet her and see if she wants to do it, this older woman. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know that there's another guy that she also brought down to interview who's a famous biographer who's won a Pulitzer before for his most recent book. And she's read it, the author, the writer, and she loves it. And after she comes out of her interview, he's just standing outside waiting to do his interview with her. And she's like, oh, no. like, I'm never going to get this job. Fuck. And he's like grumpy and she's sunshine for sure. She's like very positive and like likes everybody. And even if people are mean to her, she's like, they were just having a bad day. Like, you don't know what was going on in their life. But of course, they're in this really small town on this little island. So they run into each other all the time. And he's like super competitive. And she's like, well, I'm just going to have you guys work with me for a month and we'll see what you guys get. And then I'll decide who's going to write the biography. And he's like, are you kidding? We're going to be here for a whole month.
Are they getting paid?
So she's like, don't worry, I'm going to pay you. But he's like disgruntled about it because he's like, but then what if I don't get the job after all that work? And she's like, I'm paying you. This is like the job of a lifetime because she's such a huge starlet and such a mystery what happened in her life and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the premise. And so we go most like the first chunk is this setup here. So we're meeting the guy and like a romance is starting to kindle and we're meeting the lady. Oh my God, my phone keeps going off. What the fuck's going on? And then once she starts working with her, we get like snippets of her life. So it'll be like her story.
Okay.
Starting at her great grandfather's story when he struck the silver. And we're kind of going through. And I just kind of want to hear her story.
Got it.
But like, it's necessary. What did she say?
She says, Evelyn Hugo gave me unrealistic expectations for that book, LOL, but Great Beautiful Life was so good.
I'm sure it's going to be so good. 1,000% faith it's going to be fantastic. I'm just like, I love her romances, so I just want the romance parts. But like every time I start to feel like that, it comes to an end and we get to the part where we see the romance that's happening in this timeline. So,
okay.
Oh, I didn't even talk about the audiobook, which I was like, I recorded myself gushing about it to Natasha the other day. So good. Obviously, it's Julia Whelan, the dream team, Emily Henry and Julia Whelan. Emily Henry is so funny, but it really takes a narrator with perfect comedic timing to bring it to life. And Julia Whelan is perfection. She literally sounds like you're reading a full cast. When she's reading her man voice, I'm kicking my feet. I'm like, oh my God, who is this guy? Like, and like the old women voice, like when she's doing dialogue, like the dialogue tags are like lower voice in a different tone. So like it just fades away. It just feels like a performance. She could do a one woman show and I would love it.
Oh, she should just like sell tickets or something like that.
She literally should.
Siobhan says Emily Henry and Abby Jimenez releasing books in the same month as ruining my sleep schedule.
They always release them back to back and I always read them and have the best 2 weeks ever. Like, last time this happened too and I was like,
I love when Allie Hazelwood does that.
Back to back with who?
I don't know. I just like it when she
I like when she releases books too. Oh, speaking of, Allie Hazelwood is a new book called Problematic Summer Romance coming out in May. I think it's like May 16th or May 25th.
This May?
This May.
She's like Beyonce.
I know. Did you miss that? I was
talked about it, but I don't think it registered. I was like, oh, it's coming out this summer.
No.
May.
In a second, it's coming out. I May's was like, tomorrow. It's crazy that she could do that.
When this episode's out. May is already here.
It's out May 27th, 2025. At long last, here's Maya and Hark's story. I've been wanting to write it since the second I met them. It's, wait.
What?
Oh, wait. And since my bestie Jen told me I should, which means that I've been working on this book on and off around other projects for almost 2 years now. I love these two and their immovable object, Hark versus Unstoppable Force, Maya dynamic. And I hope you guys like it too.
Wait, what? From Not In Love?
Wait.
Who's Hark?
Who's Hark?
I know that name. Someone, hello, help.
Wait, while Maya and Hark were first introduced in Not In Love, you do not need to read Not In Love before Problematic Summer Romance. Both books are standalone. Is it his sister? She was the most fun character, honestly, if it is the sister. Or is it her best friend? Oh, no! Hark is his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his little sister. Yes, it is. It's his sister.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like a 10-year age gap.
Yeah. There's a huge age gap.
Yeah. Maya Kilgore is 23 and still in the process of figuring her life. Connor Harkness is 38 and Maya can't stop thinking about him. Holy shit. That's like a 15-year age gap.
Yikes. I'm
excited.
It's fiction.
I am excited. That was supposed to be in the news. Oh my god. Okay. Oh
well. Okay, TV shows. Christine hasn't. Oh wait, she just started watching You.
Oh, I just started watching the last and final season of You, and yeah, I'm excited. We're back in New York, so it's like coming full circle. We're back at the bookstore. He's like reopening it. There's been like a 3-year time jump. His kid is in the picture. He's with Kate from last season. And she has a lot of money, so she was able to, like, buy the bookstore for him. Mm. We're kind of circling all the way back around, and I think this is the season where Joe might finally go to jail or die. Like, don't you think it has to end like that?
Yes, he needs to die.
So I think that's what's going to happen, but we will see. I'm always rooting for Joe to have his redemption arc, and then we always come back around to him being a serial killer, so...
Yeah, no.
He tries so hard and then he loses it. He's an addict that is too dangerous to be around.
I have been watching some TV. I totally forgot to put this on the list, but yeah. My three is like, if anyone needs a shitty TV show to watch, Ransom Canyon on Netflix has been hitting the spot.
What
listen,
is that?
Listen. This is like Yellowstone meets Hallmark Channel. That's what it's trying to be. It's trying to be like Yellowstone, like Netflix's Yellowstone.
Interesting.
Josh Duhamel, love that man. He's fucking hot, even in his 50s. Ripped, too. Minka Kelly, also beautiful.
Wait, are we talking the guy from Verity? That Josh Duhamel?
No, that's Josh Hartnett.
Oh, damn it. I'm getting
confused. Josh
Duhamel
is from Hamilton.
Todd Hamilton. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was in Simon and the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Yes.
Love Simon. Love Simon. Okay, yes.
Remember we saw him at Benihana?
I didn't see him. You saw him with Heather or something.
Yeah, Heather's birthday. He was at Benihana.
I was not there.
My review is, if you like crappy romance stuff,
crappy,
it's like a Friday Night Lights meets Yellowstone. That's what it is. It's like a little like small town.
Friday Night Lights is critically acclaimed in Yellowstone as well. What is the bad part? It's cheesy.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
Okay, so it's like if a webisode version.
I said
of
it's
them.
Hallmark. It's a Hallmark version of those of things.
Okay.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. So, okay. Yeah. If you want to,
I do
it.
Like Josh Duhamel. I think he is so lovable.
Yeah. My only thing about it is like they really hark on this thing to be like a romantic story, and like it is, but some of like the romantic scenes just don't really hit.
Hmm.
And that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. The chemistry isn't there or the dialogue?
I think the way things are filmed and like the dialogue.
The cinematography
like,
really shitting on it.
Yeah. And the dialogue could be a lot better. The writing could be a lot better. Anyways, mm-hmm. Next, still watching Last of Us.
You liking it?
If any of you are watching it, you know my thoughts.
What? You said nothing about it.
Yeah, that's the point. I really can't say anything.
Oh my god. So my three says Last of Us has been ... What does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I've been watching Andor, which is the Star Wars Disney Plus show. It's on its second season. This show is so good, you guys. If you have not watched Andor, you need to watch it. It's like a very, very, very grown-up like Star Wars show. Like, it's not like dumbed down. It's not like
it deals with hard subjects, and there's like, there's like sex, and they said the F word. I was like, whoa.
They said the F word
in a Star Wars thing. Yeah, yeah. That's big. It's really good, and they're dropping 3 episodes per week, and the show leads all the way up to Rogue One. So if you liked Rogue One, you should watch. And you just watch Andor. It's just really smart. It's really good. Incredible writing. You get to see all different facets of Star Wars, and it's just so good. I'm enjoying it so much.
Cool. All right. I didn't watch anything this week. I was writing, like I said. So, but we're gonna roll on into
wait.
What? Do we miss something?
Movies.
Oh, Sinners. Oh, movies. What did you watch?
I went and watched Sinners last night with the brother and a few of the friends, and this movie was so good.
I can't wait to watch it.
It was so good. It was a horror film, and it had a few like little jump pop scenes, and it wasn't sexy vampires. It was a sexy movie with scary vampires.
I'm so excited. This is giving like the type of horror movie that I like.
Yeah,
like a Jordan Peele.
I like kept thinking about it all day today. That's nice. How much I enjoyed it.
Good. No spoilers.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but okay. The music, amazing. The score, incredible. Hailee Steinfeld, hot. Michael B. Jordan, oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm in love with that man.
All right. Well, now we're going to roll on to our main discussion, but first we're going to thank the listeners. Thank you all so much for listening to the show. We appreciate our podcast fam out there so much. We love y'all. And if you're not already, we'd love it if you follow the show for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts. You can follow the show for free so you never miss an episode. And we have visual episodes on YouTube, and you can subscribe for free and watch the show every week and never miss an episode. So youtube.com/@thoseworkingfangirls. Super you can easy.
See my cool hair in this episode.
You can. You can see these awesome like butterfly things Natasha has in her hair. It looks awesome. That's crazy. I just said awesome twice in one sentence.
Crazy hair day at school, so I did this.
I'm wearing our TFF merchandise. Those Forking Fangirls sweatshirt, if you're interested, the link to our merch store is also in the show notes.
Oh, we have a Patreon.
Super important. We are only able to do this show because of our Patreon. And if you feel like you want to support the show in a bigger way, we'd love it if you checked out our Patreon. We have super fun perks over there. The first tier, Team Jacob, you get the show ad-free, you get to come to our recordings, and you get Fangirl Tea Time, which is an extra show attached to the regular show that you get every single week. So if you become a patron now, there are literally 117 episodes of Fangirl Tea Time for you to go through. And trust me when I say they are fun. And you will have a good time. Listen, they're all like story times. So, and we, for a lot of them, for like, I think the last 50, there's a timestamp so you can jump to the Fangirl Tea Time in the episode. But if there is not a timestamp, it's the last half an hour usually. So if you just back up to the end half an hour, you'll jump right to Fangirl Tea Time. And yeah, there's a lot of them. And wait, you could get a free trial. Try it out for 7 days. See if you like it. And then you can commit. If you want to commit for the year, you get a 16% off discount. We love that. Thank you so much. And if you just want to do month to month, got a little bit of like commitment phobia, test it out. You could do that too. We appreciate any and all of your support. And there's 2 other tiers if you're interested in checking those out. The link is in the show notes. It's patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls.
Thank you guys. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Don't forget the plug attached at the hip. Attached at the hip is being replaced by 30 Flirty and Forever Alone now. But if you like Survivor, I do have a Survivor book and it's called Attached at the Hip and it's out now. Oh, but you know what I didn't say? Reviews are really important. So if you've read any of my books,
Make sure to review them.
I appreciate you taking a second to review them because that is really what helps to push the books to new readers who would enjoy them. So thank you so much if you have already done that. My 3 says Fangirl Tea Time makes her week. So that's really exciting.
Aww.
She also says, Christine, you have to watch Temptation Island. So I guess. Wait. That's on Netflix. I saw that pop up. If you're a patron, we're jumping right into the main discussion. If not, we will be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And we're digging into where our lore started. Natasha, bring us in to the discussion.
Where our lore started, it's the origin story of our obsessions.
And ourselves.
Well, yeah, ourselves. Yeah. Like the movie, the shows, the books, fandoms that like shaped just us,
our inner world. Our DNA.
It's where our favorite tropes, aesthetics, emotional fixations were born.
That's why we talk the way we talk sometimes.
This is the media that built the blueprint for who we are now. The stuff that made us dream big, feel deeply, and maybe spiral a little too hard over fictional characters. So
the first thing I have down is Britney Spears.
Okay.
She's such a deep part of like my youth and wanting to like dance really good and the way I did my hair and the way like Gaga was this of my 20s. She was this of my babies. From ages 8 on, I wanted to dress like her. Like, I loved her crop tops. I loved her, like, colorful outfits. Like, she always had, like a red or a green crop top with her, like, black bell bottoms. And that's literally what I wear to this day. Like, I wear bell bottoms every single day from Pop Flex and a crop top. Like, she was so cool. And the dancing to the caliber that she was dancing back then and singing just wasn't seen, at least to me, as like an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old. So, yeah, she really like is what I idolized as like the coolest ever for all of my elementary, middle school years.
Do you feel like you still bring some of that into your adulthood now, or
I think she literally like shaped my fashion sense. Is what I'm alluding to here.
Yeah.
like her shirts and stuff were, I just wanted them so bad, but at the time they didn't sell stuff like that. It was just Britney Spears wearing it, you know, like her stylists and stuff, but like I couldn't get that at the limited two. They had like boxy ass stupid t-shirts and camisoles with a built-in like flap that was a quote bra. But when I got bell bottoms at the store, I was like, fuck yeah. I'm cool.
Well, it's so funny because it's like we had so much, I feel like we saw things as kids that like we wanted to have so badly. And whether that was something in a film or it was like a pop star or like just something that the person was wearing or had like you really wanted. And then finally, when you're in adulthood, like you have adult money and you can purchase those things or craft or make your style or your wardrobe around those like the very first pieces of media that you were subjected to that you saw and like your just mind just knew that you liked that.
Yeah. You know, we kind of, you remember we did like the people who shaped our fashion. I think I talked about the same thing with Britney Spears. But she really is like the first lore that I was obsessed with other than the Spice Girls. But the Spice Girls were like a different kind of obsession. It was kind of like being sorted. It was like, what Spice Girl are you? You know, like, where do you belong? Are you sporty, baby, ginger, scary, or posh? And it was like the choice of it all, like being in a different camp. That was like so cool about the Spice Girls.
But so your first introduction to being sorted.
Yeah, fandom. Was definitely the Spice Girls. I was obsessed. But Britney was like struck me to my core in that way. What's first on your list? What was the earliest that you feel like?
Well, the early, it's all like just mumbled together because I feel like the earliest was probably Barbie.
Ah,
right?
Yeah, that makes sense for you. Because Barbie, right?
I was obsessed with Barbie. Yeah. Like I had so many Barbies and I feel like because of Barbie, I was obsessed with the only thing I liked doing about Barbie. Yeah, I like playing and making stories and making elaborate weddings and like having like relationship type of thing. Like Alex and I would play together, but I also love dressing my Barbies and I would take like hours, like putting little outfits together and
this
things
is
like
the
that.
Sims when you take forever, just making a house. And I'm like, I just make a box, put the things they need and then start making them talk to each other.
This is also really early. This was third grade and this still is with me today. I've talked about this before. Amelia's notebooks from the American Girl magazine. At the back of the magazine, there was Amelia's notebooks. And there were, like, notebooks, and she'd write about her life and stuff and draw stuff. And to this day, that is what, like, turned me into someone who wanted to journal and write. And I did. I emulated her journal first. And she was, like, a little spicy and sassy in her journal, like, about her sister and stuff, which is why I was, like, spicy and sassy in my journal.
I love writing journal stuff, and in all my books, like, my favorite thing is to like write a like a journal entry. Like, I love the rawness of writing a journal entry style because you can really just dig into their thoughts in any way you want, like any format you want, because they're writing in a journal and it's like they could do whatever the fuck they want. And
metal American Girl was my whole childhood.
Yes, American Girl core. But yeah, that is really like lore, like that became a part of me and like how I like to read and write and all of that stuff. And also, this is random, from the same time I met my best friend Jenna, and she laughed like how I laugh, like that. And that is where I picked that up. And to this day, Jenna and I,
your laugh has been a lie this whole time.
No, the gasping part of it. You know how, like, you know, we spent so much time together that I picked that up. And I remember when I picked it up and I was like, oh, I'm laughing like Jenna. And now it's just like part of me.
Wait, which gasping part? Where you go
like the part when, the wheezing. Yeah.
That?
Yeah, the wheezing.
Wow, I feel like I've been swindled.
But when she wheezes, it's more like, huh! It's more like deep. It's like a masculine wheeze.
Did she do the whole, like...
No, she was more like straight on.
Gosh, I have to say, Phantom of the Opera. But this isn't like... A lot of people will reference the film. And I just need everyone to know that the film hadn't come out yet, and I was already obsessed coming out the womb with Phantom of the Opera. It was,
I don't even know the film. I've never even... I don't know it at all.
I need you to go see Phantom of the Opera with me. Or, like, at least
no
watch...
desire, because it's an opera.
But, like... It's not all opera. She's not going like, like, it's literally in one part.
One part? What are they doing the rest of the musical?
They sing like normal. In belty mixed tones. Okay? Anyways, my parents' wedding song was All I Ask of You. They're like, I think their second or third date. They went, my dad took her to go see Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah, you told him.
And that's where, like, they fell in love. And so I, like, they were already playing the soundtrack for me, like, growing up. And, like, my mom and my dad would, like, talk it up. And then that's kind of how they found out that I could possibly sing, because I was singing along to all the Phantom stuff. And I was, like, trying to do the operatic voice the whole time. And
And
when we were, I feel like we were in third grade, they finally took us to see the live stage performance, and I fell in love. I was obsessed. I was obsessed. I mean, I was already obsessed with all the music, and I remember my mom being like, shh, don't sing. She had, they had to like really prep me. They're like, you can't sing along. I know you know all the songs, but you can do that afterwards.
You're like that child belting audience.
And it just makes a lot of sense that I was obsessed with Phantom of the Opera because it's a
forbidden love.
Yeah, it's like forbidden love. And there's like two men pining after her. Oh, and she's nice. wearing these gorgeous, beautiful gowns and robes and shit. Uh-huh. And I was obsessed. I remember like the thing that stuck in my mind first was the whole stage production is so cool because in the beginning it's like 15 years later, 20 years later, and then it goes back in time, and the chandelier that's like broken on the floor of the stage rises up over the whole audience, and like it literally, it's like it's kind of scary because it's like kind of violent the way it rises. It's just like and it like rises up over.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been obsessed ever since. And then when the film came out, I have this distinct memory of being in the theaters with my parents, and we saw the trailer because, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't really have the internet back then, and YouTube. And I remember all of us sitting forward and like looking at each other and being like, what? There's a movie coming out?
What year was this?
I think 06.
What?
Yeah, when the film came out.
I was in high school? This is weird.
Yeah. Erin, the chandelier shook me to my core when I was like 8. I feel like that's, you know, it's my first thing.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with the romance and the aesthetic of it all.
Mm-hmm. And you continue to be to this day.
Oh, yes.
My next lore is the Swan Princess. And I was trying to think about, like, why this meant. I think this was, like, introduction to, like, feminism. Like, her saying, what else is there? When he was like, she was like, why do you love me? And he was like, you're so beautiful. And she's like, and what else? And he was like, what else is there? And she was like, oh, my God. And she left. She was like, fuck this. That, like, kind of, like, really rocked me to my core. And she was, like, really good at chess and really good at checkers and really good at cards. And she would play with the boys and she would beat them. And then, like, she had a big part in, like, saving herself from being in the curse. Hmm. That she was cursed to be a swan every night. And, like, she had to get this map with her friends, and they worked together. And I don't know. It was so empowering, you know, compared to a lot of Disney at the time that I had grown up on. Like, The Little Mermaid, where she can't talk. He just falls in love with her. And the Beauty and the Beast, where, like, she falls in love with the guy who kidnaps her. Like, it was, like, it was very much, like, Mulan-y. You know what I mean? Before I saw Mulan, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I think Swan Princess was, like, 97. I think Mulan was 98. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think about it to this day all the time. I think about what else is there. And this isn't my idea of fun. Like, it's just like in my head as a framework for life.
That's a song, right?
Yeah.
This isn't my idea.
It's so good. That soundtrack is excelente. It's so beautiful and fun.
Christine introduced me to the Swan Princess. I had never seen it.
Yeah, I made her watch it in 2016.
She's like, you've never seen it? And then I think I made her watch The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and we're like, yeah, this doesn't hold
it was
up.
So depressing. Oh my God. And like the practice song is so good. Oh my God. Anyway, if you haven't seen The Swan Princess, I highly recommend.
It was a Fox movie, right?
It was. It was like the only good Fox cartoon.
No.
You know, there was no Anastasia and The Swan Princess. Yeah.
But I think Disney owns them now, so they're on Disney Plus.
Well, oh, Disney owns Fox. Because, yeah, Disney loves it, owns Fox.
Yeah. I was also, like, trying to think of my favorite animated film because, like, yeah, like, I loved The Little Mermaid growing up, but I think because of Alex, we didn't watch it as much. You know, how we're twins and yeah. we watch the same things.
You know how you're twins.
Know how that shit works.
Yes.
But Alex and I, like, y'all think that Meg was just a happenstance? Like, yeah, I'll just dress up as Meg. No. Hercules was our everything. Not only are we Greek, so, it, you know, that. You know how yeah. the Greeks are very proud. So, you know, we had to watch the Greek movie. But it was also, like, a movie that both Alex and I could enjoy together. And I love Meg. Meg was so cool. She was so spicy and funny and hot and like just cool. And I loved Hercules because he was also so fun and like sweet and very strong.
I'm gonna look up when Hercules came out.
When was it? Yeah,
I think it was like 98 too. But that there's too many movies that I'm thinking are at the same time. So like, when did Hercules 97?
We were only three.
Maybe you saw it like on when it came on VHS.
Yeah, we definitely like. I mean, we had the movie, so that's why.
Yeah,
you know, it's just when you're kids, you just watch all of the movies, all the time. But
Swan Princess was 94. Holy shit! Yeah, yeah, that was early.
But I mean, yeah, Hercules was our shit growing up. It was our favorite thing. We loved the music, and it was fun for Alex and I to watch it both together. And it's just iconic.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is iconic. It's a great movie. It's so funny. When I was younger, I used to think about Hercules coming out like when I was older.
What do you mean?
Like, you know how I was a baby when like Aladdin came out, but I was like a sentient being when Hercules came out. So I was like, that's not a Disney classic.
Oh my God.
What year did I just say it came out? Like 97?
97.
You were I was seven. Six or six. Seven. Like, I'm older.
Yeah, well, also, like, I think Alex and I were also obsessed with Anastasia as well. Yeah.
That soundtrack goes hard.
God, it goes so hard. Also, The Prince of Egypt, yeah. All of those. Mm-hmm. Like, just the songs, but I think because my mom was also weirdly obsessed with Russia that she also really liked Anastasia, and I just loved the animation style of it all. It was so beautiful. Also just love their romance. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the music so much. There's like an Anastasia moment in Voice of the Ocean. The next part of my lore is Poland Bananas. And this really is like my what? Literal lore. Like, it is my literal lore. People don't know until I explain my fucking lore. Like, where did this come from? Like, this is legit. Like, I was needed a nickname when I was in elementary school in fourth grade. Because when you get in fifth grade, in the yearbook, you get to put a nickname next to your name because you're mm-hmm. graduating elementary school. And I was like, I want to be cool and have a nickname. And this is literally, like, follow me around my whole life. I wanted a nickname. And I called myself... and Jenna wanted a nickname, and we loved Poland spring water, both of us, every day, and we loved banana yogurt every day, and I chose the two, Poland and bananas, and she got spring and yogurt, and that's when we made our screen names, and the rest is history, man. I tried to get people to call me Poland bananas, and they didn't, and I would be like, can you call me Poland bananas? I was a 9-year-old.
I've heard this story before, but I still don't understand how it has followed you your entire life.
I still
and you've let it.
Bananas and water. In fifth grade, we had to like make a comic in our art class. So I made Poland bananas and spring yogurt like the comic. And it was about a penguin and a flower that went on an adventure together.
By this equation, so it was your favorite drink?
Water.
favorite food?
Bananas. But also, like, basic, not really. Everyone, no. I hate. Everyone,
oh my
says
God,
they
don't
like
get
water.
Upset about this. I didn't mean it that way. I just mean water is your favorite. That's fucking
favorite?
Basic.
No, nobody likes water. It's so annoying.
They're
like, it has no taste. And I'm like, you don't even understand water. You don't know them like I do. Go away and learn about water.
Would your name now be Matcha Bananas?
Probably. I didn't know about matcha back then. I didn't need it till I was in high school.
I don't have inanimate objects or food items as my lore.
Okay, well, anything could be part of your lore.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about Keira Knightley then.
Okay.
I
talked about Britney Spears. Why not Keira Knightley?
Okay. I don't know if anyone else had this, but I feel like Keira Knightley, I don't know what happened, but she was like my ultimate number one actress, okay? She was literally my everything. She is where like fandom sites started for me. I signed up on her number one fan site as like a user and then would like talk to other people who loved Keira Knightley as well. Like back in 07.
Oh boy. On like chat rooms and stuff.
Yes. And then I was just, well, one, I saw Bend It Like Beckham, loved her in that. And then, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean. Her outfits in Pirates and her romance in Pirates. I remember watching the last Pirates movie and being so devastated that finally her and Will were together. And then they couldn't see each other for 10 years. Years,
dude. I cried. We cried. Did we all cry?
This wrecked me. As I don't know how it was. 2008, I think, because I was definitely
in
middle school.
I think it was my senior year. Yeah,
and I just thought about it forever and ever and ever, and I was so sad about it.
Every time I watched it, I hoped that it would end differently.
Yes,
just like the Titanic.
It just. Oh my God. Okay. So that killed me. I think when that happened and I felt something like that, that started something in me where I was like, media can make me feel a certain way.
You didn't realize till that.
I can feel this sort of heartbreak from a movie about two people in love.
Dude.
Like, that was revolutionary for me. And I was, like, chasing that from that point on.
Honestly, I think the first hate to love I really, really connected with was Pirates of the Caribbean. I have this on my list, too. Pirates is, like, part of my essential lore.
Like, yes.
I don't think I've ever had a crush on someone in a movie like Jack Sparrow and Will Turner. Mm-hmm. Like, never before. When did it come out?
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
2003 or 2004, 2001?
No, not
01.
The
it
first
was like
one?
03. It was 03. 03? Yeah. I was in love with both of them. I was shipping them all with Keira Knightley. I loved
the second one so much because of the sexual tension with Jack Sparrow and Keira Knightley. Like, I wanted them together so bad. And I knew she wanted it too. She wanted a baddie.
She was in her pirate era.
As a young one, I did not. I was so Will Turner, like Team Will Turner.
I wanted her to have both of them.
Wow.
But yeah, that end of a, that was like that, the end of Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest was like everyone in the theater flipping their shit. Like it was like a cliffhanger like I'd never seen in the movie theater before. He gets eaten by the Kraken. Mm-hmm. And then the movie ends. Christina and I were devastated. Like, he can't be dead.
Yeah. We saw all those with my cousins.
We're in love with him.
We were not okay. We were not okay watching those movies.
I just remember so vividly looking over at Christina and being like, what the fuck?
I remember going to dinner, this is for At World's End, with like my dad's side of the family. And I had already seen it with my mom's side, like Miley and Taylor. And Alex and I. And I couldn't stop talking about how they weren't together. And they could only be together for one day. And I was trying to like have this like session, this fangirling session with my cousins, and they just weren't. They were like, yeah, it's sad.
I was like, they weren't into it the same way.
Get it. You don't get it.
You don't understand the depth of this love.
This is where the fangirl needed to find other fangirls started.
I had Christina as my go-to fangirl. Jenna was always like so bleh. And we were like, oh my God.
I didn't have anyone. This is my brother. But okay, speaking of Keira Knightley.
Wait. Oh, wait. Okay, she's still in. Before we moved on from Pirates, I had other things. But
I'm going to move on to Pride and Prejudice. But you say what?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, I feel like changed the way I walk through the world and think about life. Like, really? I just always think about sword fighting, and that's why I practice every day, 3 hours a day.
Why? Wait, walk me through this. What?
Like, just like whenever there's like something like pirate, like that can throw me to pirates, I like think about having a sword, or like I can walk like Jack Sparrow because like he's so deeply ingrained in me. Like, I like his makeup so much, like eyeliner. Like, eyeliner is a combination of Jack Sparrow and Avril Lavigne, now that I'm thinking about the timeline. He's just, like, the way he talks and, like, the way he's, like, so, like, silly, but really, he's actually really smart. That actually really struck a chord with me, too.
I love how you're just, like, you're Jack Sparrow, number one. And I'm over here thinking, I'm like, maybe this is why I love corsets so much. Because it was my first introduction.
It obviously is.
To wearing a corset.
To wearing a corset. He splits like, it off.
Yes, it's hot. And the way that he had to like rip it open. And she's like, oh my God. And like, try wearing a corset. Like,
I didn't know that you could do that. And Orlando Bloom.
Oh, mm-hmm.
My love.
I didn't understand as a young one that he was also in Lord Legolas? Of the Rings.
I was so disappointed when I saw Lord of the Rings. I was like, that's not Will Turner.
I didn't get it because he was so hot in Pirates of the Caribbean. But I didn't, I was like, what? In Lord of the Rings.
I was like, why is he wearing that wig? It's so gross.
I didn't know it was the same person. That's what it was.
Okay, I saw Pirates until later. First, and like part of the reason why I was willing to watch Lord of the Rings, I wouldn't watch it till the third one had come out, and was like, oh, well, Will Turner's in it. And I was like, ew. How am I supposed to like him like this? He's not funny or fun. He's so serious and he's blonde.
He's so serious and he's blonde. Siobhan says, As a teen, I wanted a full Bridgerton-style wedding night scene for Will and Elizabeth and was disappointed. Yes!
I love that scene where they both save Jack, the Commandant, and... Oh, wait, this has nothing to do with Keira Knightley. She helps. She faints. That's what happens.
All right. Well, because I loved Keira Knightley so much in Pirates of the Caribbean, that's where... well, my mother started showing me Jane Austen stuff, right? And I was like, yeah, I like it. But then when Keira Knightley was in Pride and Prejudice, I was like, Mom, I need to see this movie. You know what happened? I just told this story in our women's group. My parents went to go see Pride and Prejudice on a date night, and they didn't take me to go see Pride and Prejudice. I was so upset. When they came home and they said, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie, went and saw Pride and Prejudice. What? And I remember my friends at school being like, yeah, I went and saw it. It was so good. And I was like,
wait, were you like 8?
It's 2005, so yeah.
Yeah, that's like my Titanic. Everyone saw it except me. They were all talking about it in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the worst. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't involved. I mean, until like it came out on DVD. I still didn't get to see it in theaters. I had to wait till it came out on DVD. And then I watched it every single night from that point on. But that lit, like, Keira Knightley was the segue into the Jane Austen world for me. And I have seen almost everything Keira Knightley does because it's still in me that I love her that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she was the girl of the era. She was like the girl of the decade.
It's a tragedy that I don't have Titanic on here. And I just put it on. But so your Pride and Prejudice when you were 8, I was 7 actually. And everyone was seeing Titanic except me because there was nudity and I wasn't allowed. I didn't get to watch Titanic till 5 years later when I was 13. Is that what 7 + 5 is? No, 6. 6 years later.
Wow. Yeah.
And I got my parents had the double VHS in the basement and I was finally allowed to watch it billion years later. But like, I think it's safe to say that Titanic is ingrained into my head so hard that I could draw the line to Titanic in almost any situation. And I think about quotes from it all the time. And I was so happy that I got to channel that into Attached at the Hip and make so many Titanic jokes.
Siobhan says, oh my God, my first grade class was talking about Titanic when it came out for some reason. Lol, why did so many of them see it or find out about it to lie that they had saw it? I cried like a month after I first saw it when I was 10, I think.
Yeah. Why did all these 7-year-olds get to watch Titanic in the movie theater? Like,
that seems traumatic.
It's, well, I was captivated by the idea of it. Like, we learned about Titanic. I was like, I want to see it so bad. And Paul watched it with me and he loved it. Like, because
how old was he?
What's 8 minus 13? 5.
5?
Paul loved Titanic. I've talked about this. He was obsessed with it. We read every book about it. He knew all the facts because that kind of a disaster is so captivating for, like, a youth. Like, you just can't comprehend it. And, like, you're taught about, like, this was the biggest, most unsinkable ship and it sunk. Like, the way that they pitch it, the marketing for Titanic, a history, is so catchy. Like, you don't even really think about it. Like, you can't comprehend the tragedy of it because you're too young. You can only think about, like, how does a ship sink?
Yeah, I guess that was, like, the day after tomorrow for my family.
Not half as iconic as Titanic. What's next for you?
I wasn't really into Star Wars. Because it was Alex's thing. And then, but you want to know what made me into Star Wars?
What?
Was Padme.
Oh, yeah, yeah, her outfits.
But it wasn't just her outfits. This was like the prelude to Pirates of the Caribbean. I was obsessed with the two of them because... This was probably the first time that I felt like that sense of heartbreak and depression from
a romantic story. Did I care at all about the fighting scenes? No. I only liked Padme in her outfits and also their romance. I remember coming out of Revenge of the Sith, which is episode 3, I think. I can never get them right, okay? Spoilers for Star Wars. After Padme dies, I was so beside myself. I remember going into my fifth grade class. This was definitely before Pirates. And everyone had seen it that night. Okay. They'd seen it like the night before. And so everyone was talking about Star Wars. I remember I sat next to this guy and he was like so sad about Samuel L. Jackson dying. And I was like, but Padme, I think she's dead. And he betrayed her.
I remember everyone talking about this and I hadn't seen it. And I was like,
Oh, it was my everything. I was so upset. I was so, even though, and I didn't, you know, I didn't really understand because we were told about, you know, the movies from the 80s, right? But like, I didn't really know them. I just knew like the first ones and how much those meant to me. And yeah, I hated Anakin afterwards because he killed her.
Sad times.
Yeah. But honestly, from that point on, I just always wanted to wear her outfits.
I have to talk about Friends because it's literally baked into my DNA. Like, I have mannerisms that I picked up from the Friends. My sense of humor, I think, was shaped from Friends. That show did so much for me in terms of, like, comfort. It was, like, where I went. I turned it on before sleep with the TV sleep timer every night. Mm-hmm. My DVDs. I was the girl at school that people were like, can you please, if you make another Friends reference, I'm going to die. Like, shut up. I also could connect everything to Friends and still can. And around the same time, and I talk about this all the time, but like the Da Vinci Code is like such a deep part of my lore. 2006, the Da Vinci Code changed my life. It like just, I learned so much about religion that I'm just not told, because in Catholicism, they only tell you the one thing that they want you to think and not anything else, because they don't want to risk you learning enough to think differently than they want you to think. So it really opened up my eyes to like so many different things that I couldn't believe I had never thought about. And it's because like they kind of like tunnel vision you with the lessons. It like intrinsically made me like a more curious person who asked more questions about things and like thought for myself more, which I'm forever grateful for.
I was obsessed with the Mummy.
Oh, yeah, you always talk about the Mummy.
And Brendan... Brendan have light!
Fraser. Let there be light!
I was obsessed with the Mummy and Brendan Fraser and George of the Jungle. Like, he was my first celebrity crush. And he was, like, I was really young. Like, George of the Jungle, I think, came out in 99, right? I want to say...
It came out, yeah, I was earlier. Probably around 8. Yeah. Maybe could have been 97. I'll look.
Yeah, but I was really young. And then when The Mummy came out, which I think was in 2000, we went to theaters to see that one or the second one. But I loved Brendan Fraser. I loved how funny he was. And yeah, he was I liked great. How tall he was. And I also love Rachel Weisz because she was like the heroine of the story. And her superpower was that she could read and she was really smart. And I thought that was so cool because she's like, and I'm a librarian. Yeah. And also just love the aesthetic of that time period. I was just obsessed with like historical things. And it started very young, like historical fashion, the hair, the makeup, I think the pieces from those times. And I had a really weird obsession with Anne Boleyn. This came from the show The Tudors. And this is where, like, my obsession with English royalty kind of started. But I was way too young watching The Tudors. I think it was, like, it came out in 2008. And I was in middle school. And I liked the aesthetic. That was it. Like, I just loved the aesthetic and the historical fashion of it. But also, like, how hard it was to be a woman back then. And for me, it was so interesting how much power Anne Boleyn had and how little power she had at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the juxtaposition of that.
But how she gave birth to one of the most powerful queens of the English monarchy. All that was so interesting to me. That was a huge part of my lore and what started my obsession with historical history and period dramas.
Nice. I want to mention I feel like early YouTube lore is a big part of my lore, like the Vlogbrothers. Mm-hmm. And Charlie is So Cool, like, back in the day. Like, that era of YouTube, like, I still feel like everyone knows it and will, like, make references and no one does. Except for the nerd fighters. And they really were the first people I saw vlogging. And they very much set the stage for what I knew vlogging to be and how I first vlogged and edited. Like, John and Hank's editing style is the editing style that I went in with. For sure. And yeah, everyone has that YouTuber that they watch that makes them start YouTube. And they, of course, were the people that I was watching that, like, showed me what vlogging even was. Mm-hmm. So they're a big part. And then, of course, Hillywood, who showed me, like, that it was possible to make, like, really good videos yourself, like music videos. But yeah, the last thing I have on here was Breaking Bad, which was a cultural phenomenon in, like, from, like, the years 2009, I want to say, to 2013. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't watch it, there's this character, Jesse Pinkman. And after everything he does, he's like, go get that, bitch. And, like, he'll just be like, close the door, bitch. Bye, bitch. And, like, I never used to say the word bitch. And then, like, all of a sudden, it started coming out of my mouth. Like, I would just, like, trip over something and I'd be like, bitch. And, like, he's like, science, bitch. And I just started saying bitch all the time. And, like, just like it started to mean nothing, but it was so funny to me. And I still will randomly sometimes be like, bitch. And that is from Jesse Pinkman. And that show's phenomenal. And if you haven't seen it, highly recommend. Go binge it.
Anxiety.
It is about a English teacher who ends up being diagnosed with cancer, and he wants to make enough money so that his family doesn't go into debt if he passes away. So he starts making crystal meth, but he needs help because he doesn't know who to sell it to and stuff. So he recruits one of his past students that he knows is a druggie, Jesse Pinkman, who, like, needs some guidance. He's in a point in his life where his parents kicked him out, but, like, he really needs some empathy and stuff. And Walt takes advantage of him and brings him on as his team to sell crystal meth.
I'll just go through my leftovers really quickly. Mm-hmm. X-Files, huge. That was my first shipping extravaganza-ness. First time I was, like, looking up videos of compilations of characters. Lord of the Rings, specifically Arwen. We don't need to talk further about that. Grey's Anatomy. I remember I was so devastated about Dr. McDreamy and Meredith, and when she decided she wanted to drown herself after the ferry exploded, I was devastated for a week. Twilight for mm-hmm. both of us.
Yeah. I, like, was like, it's not even worth mentioning. Yeah. We talk about it so much.
Marie Antoinette, specifically the Kirsten Dunst movie, the aesthetic. I don't need to say anything more. Poison Ivy.
You talk about this so randomly a lot.
Batman and Robin. I thought she was the coolest thing ever. I wanted to be just like her. I had a whole doll. She was so cool. Gwen Stefani, because Christine put Britney Spears, and that was my first one. Disneyland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Julia Roberts movies. Just Julia Roberts in general.
Julia Roberts. Yeah, for me too. I skipped SpongeBob, but had a really big impact on me. Like, lore. So much SpongeBob in my life. Just every day I see him in different ways, and I aspire to be SpongeBob-y. Survivor, obviously, has had a big impact on me and my lore and the way I think. Siobhan says, the 90s Coca-Cola commercials are part of my lore. Polar bears have always been my favorite animal because of them. That's so random, and I love that. And similarly, the Pepsi commercials with Britney Spears from 2000, I think it was the 2001 Super Bowl, but the one where she goes through time when she's like, the young people say, Pepsi, please. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, na-na, think young, say, Pepsi, please. Pepsi for the, and then he's like, come alive, bop-dee-bop. And we go through like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000. And that commercial, I sing it, I think about it all the time. It's forever ingrained in me. I feel like it's the best commercial of all time. And it's in my lore. Metal, I did not mention Lost. The thing is with Lost is, like, it's definitely part of my lore. Like, it's in me. I think about it all the time, but I never think about it for these lists because I was, like, I mean,
older.
I was older, but I mean, I was 18, so I wasn't that much older. I was the same age as all these Breaking Bad YouTube stuff. But, like, I feel like maybe it's so obvious that I talk about it all the time. Like, I don't even put it in here. It's like Twilight. Like, I didn't feel the need to mention it. But Lost changed the way that I think about storytelling, so for sure. Should we move on to Mary Kiss Cliff?
Yes.
All right. That was our lore. We'd love to hear about your lore in the comments, so please share with us what...
Or if you share any weird ones with us.
Yeah, anything we didn't mention. I thought about Mary-Kate and Ashley, but I feel like I was almost too young for it to make it into my lore. All right. Here we go. Mary Kiss Cliff. All right, Mary Kiss Cliff today. I put other parts of our lore, the library, the movie theater, and the grocery store. What are you going to do? I think I'm going to marry the grocery store.
I knew you were going to. She is in that thing all the time.
It's her favorite place to go. And then I will kiss the movie theater and Cliff the library because I just go to bookstores more because the library has all stuff that germs are touching. Siobhan, can I get my groceries delivered? Because then I'll Cliff the grocery store. I hate it. Then there won't be a grocery store.
I also hate the grocery store. I avoid that place. Like the plague.
My mom hates the grocery store as well.
It's so annoying and boring, and like I don't like pushing around carts and having to like think about what I need. I like to sit down and look at my phone and order stuff and then think about it in the safety of my home.
I don't think about much. I just get my stuff and I
that's because you eat like five things.
Yeah, I get a list with myself of how fast can I get all the things I need. Every single time.
I feel like I have to be, like, so creative. I'm like, okay, what am I going to have this week? Like,
yeah, that stuff stresses me out. That's why I eat the same
thing. It's exhausting. Okay, so I'm going to Cliff the grocery store because I hate it. I'm going to marry the movie theater, and then I'm going to kiss the library.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, folks, that is our show today. Thank you so much for being here with us. Remember, Natasha's teaching a sewing class. Link is in the description to her website if you're interested.
And Christine has her fourth book coming out.
Yes, it's called 30, Flirty, and Forever Alone. It feels so good to be able to tell you guys that. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's available for pre-order now. And would really appreciate you taking a second to do that if you're interested. I can't believe I have a book coming out at the end of the year.
Woo! Wow. Coming out, wait, 11/11/2025
on Olivia's birthday.
7 months from now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Crazy, crazy times, y'all. Our show is edited by Vigard and Emma Burton and Christine Riccio, Natasha Bowles, and Alex Bowles. And our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. You make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls or on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. We're definitely the most active on the Instagram, so I would highlight that one as a recommendation to follow. And we put out new shows every single Friday. Our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska.
My name's Christine.
My name's Natasha.
And we're about to go record Fangirl Tea Time for our patrons. We've got a lot to talk about because it's been 2 weeks. So if you want to join the Patreon, the link's in the show notes. Or else we will see you next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.